Hello, this is Ken Smith welcoming you to our Bringing a Message radio programme, brought to you by the By All Means Gospel Trust in Solihull, England. In the 13th chapter of John's Gospel, we find Jesus giving his disciples a new commandment. It is that they should love one another, and it is his commandment to us today. We think you will find Maurice Payne's message a help and a blessing. Hilary is reading the scriptures and making the closing announcement. Music is by Peter Jackson and Singers. We're always glad to hear from our listeners, and so do write to us if this programme is of a special blessing to you. Stay tuned for today's message.
In John chapter 13, we get a picture of Jesus giving a new commandment. In this chapter, we read that Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave the world. Listen to the first verse.
It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love.
And the rest of the chapter has this in mind. He showed his disciples the full extent of his love to them. And then the words he uttered subsequently are some of the most precious words found in all the Gospels. Amidst the sadness that any parting would bring, we read of the comfort, peace, and triumph that was to be experienced by his followers once they realized how he had died to redeem them and now lives to keep them in his love. Jesus gave them a new command, a command to love one another. Not altogether new, but the old commandment, thou shalt love, with an important new interpretation and addition. So we need to see there was a need for a new commandment. When the disciples retired into the upper room, Jesus began his teaching to this small company of his followers. Begun when there were still 12 of them, in the chamber reserved for the meal, and then later outside, and finally in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus' words became more urgent and intense. This chapter describes the final period of instruction his disciples were to receive from him before he suffered. It is to inspiration given to John as he wrote that we owe the detailed record of Christ's words to his followers. And these have become precious to all who love the Lord and seek to take up their cross and follow him in the reading of the scriptures. Jesus prepared his disciples for this new commandment by two different actions. First, the washing of his disciples' feet, and second, the expulsion of Judas from their midst. It was as though the sudden departure of Judas with the injunction, "What you are about to do, do quickly," made the time just right for Jesus to give us this new commandment. The disciples entered the room made available to them in sandaled, dusty feet from treading the streets of Jerusalem. It seems that no arrangement had been made for any servant to wash their feet, And while we may have expected each of them willing to wash their master's feet, it seems that they were not willing to wash each other's feet. Stooping to do such a menial task for their brother was beneath their dignity. So listen to the words that describe Jesus grasping this opportunity and giving them one of the most forceful lessons of their 3 or so years' instruction.
Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. John 13:3-5.
John tells us that the time for this announcement was right, because the hour of his suffering and death had drawn near, and that the devil had prompted Judas to betray Jesus. Jesus needed to impress upon these men the nature and extent of his love for them. He was shortly to leave them, and in the hours of darkness before the resurrection dawned, they would be bewildered and distressed. A strong supporting message was needed. This Jesus did silently and without explanation, as John describes the scene. He got up from the table, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. The disciples watched in silence and stunned amazement. In silence, that is, until he came to Peter. This example of love that Jesus was giving them was offensive to Peter. Listen how John describes it.
He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." John 13:6-9.
To Peter, this was the wrong way round, and should never happen. The silence of his fellow disciples as they watched in amazement was not going to cower him into submission. "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" he asked. That he was told he did not understand what Jesus was doing only made him affirm, "No, you shall never wash my feet." And then, when shown that this washing was something he must accept if he was to have a part with Jesus, he responded with the words, "Not my feet, but my hands as well." What a marvellous scene and example we have there. After the feet washing was completed, and he had taken his garment and returned to his place, Jesus explained to his disciples the meaning of what he had done. He said that there must be no division between master and disciple in this matter, much less between disciple and disciple. In this way, he illustrated the command he was about to give, and he added,
"Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
The word "blessed" describes the reward that characterizes the Beatitude, listed in Matthew's Gospel at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Blessed denotes a present and a future state of uninterrupted happiness. Blessedness is something known by all who keep God's commandments. And here, Jesus is describing those who are humble in spirit and servant-like in action before their fellow believers. Now, the other thing that happened was the removal of Judas. This needed to be done before Jesus announced his new commandment. John in his Gospel doesn't describe the Last Supper in detail, as do the other evangelists, and there is some divergence of opinion as to whether Judas actually broke bread. Certainly, it was at or during this service that Judas left, after Jesus had revealed the fact that one of the company was going to betray him. And after he'd given Judas the bread, or sop, dipped it into the meal and told Judas to go and do quickly what he'd determined, namely, the betrayal of Jesus to the chief priests and officers of the temple guard. Because of the importance of that Last Supper, both then and in every generation since, and because the details are not clear, we may lean towards the majority view that although Judas was present at the beginning of the occasion, he left before the breaking of bread and drinking the wine commemorating the Lord's broken body and shed blood had taken place. This was an ordinance for disciples only. The new command was for those who were truly the Lord's disciples. Before Jesus could tell them this new command to love one another, and certainly before they could hope to put it into effect, the devil had to be removed from their midst. Earlier in this gospel, it is recorded that Jesus said,
"Have I not chosen you the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." John 6, verse 70.
Judas was under the control of the devil. Some might say he was the devil incarnate. At the beginning of the chapter we read, the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. Jesus knew this, and the thought that his path to the cross was going to be when one of his number betrayed him, caused him to be troubled in spirit. God loves the sinner, but he doesn't love the devil, the instigator of sin, and neither must we. We are nowhere exhorted to love or to practice evil. The devil entered into Judas, and Judas must be expelled from the number of Jesus' disciples before they broke bread. Having shared with his disciples his concern about being betrayed, they asked who the betrayer was. Jesus said it was the one to whom he gave the piece of bread that was in his hand after dipping it in the dish. He then dipped a piece of bread and gave it to Judas, telling him,
"What you are about to do, do quickly."
Now it appears that the disciples didn't appreciate at this stage just what was taking place. Only now do we know the awfulness of the deed that was about to take place. Then it was, with the betrayer having left them and Jesus having given the disciples that telling practical demonstration of his love for them as he washed their feet, Jesus told them,
"A new command I give you, love one another."
An atmosphere of relief must have been felt at the departure of Judas. So we read, when he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." He was able to speak freely to his disciples, something that was not possible before. Besides, the final stages in his apprehension and death were beginning. He told the disciples,
"Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him."
And he added,
"If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once."
They wouldn't really have understood the words of Jesus at that time, but they did later. That he would only be with them a little longer made the time ripe to announce the new command. Where he was going, they could not come. A new relationship was needed to keep his followers together, to unite them in their love for him. What Jesus called a new command was to do this for them. It has been described as the 11th commandment. Jesus didn't come to annul the 10 commandments. Listen to what he said.
"Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Matthew 5:17.
Rather, we may say this was the old command in a new way, with a new emphasis and gathering a new meaning. There are three things to note about this. First, the need to love one another. That's as necessary and pressing as ever. Second, that love is to be like Christ's love. "As I have loved you," he set an example for us to follow. And third, the fulfilling of this command was to mark them out as Jesus' disciples. A new command needed. Jesus had earlier stated the first and second commandments as the most important to the expert in the law who asked him. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind, and your neighbour as yourself," are the central commands of the law and the prophets. They are the foundations of religion and society, and they apply to everyone. That they seem so high that we cannot attain to them in no way diminishes their fundamental importance. They are as important today as ever they were. With these two great commandments already in place, we need to look for the reason Jesus announced a new commandment relating to love. It was a new commandment, or a new command, because it applied to a new situation and to a new group of men, to the disciples, for whom the general requirement to respect and care for all men was not enough. It was given to a select few and was a love that would bind them together and bind the whole body of Christ at that time, yet to be born. It was a love that would need to prove stronger and reach further than anything known before. It was the command of Jesus and would be supported by the ministry of the Holy Spirit when Jesus ascended back to his Father. It was to be a love peculiar to the followers of Jesus. Look at its characteristic. Jesus told his disciples what was to be the basis and therefore the characteristic feature of that love. It was to be a love like the love he had shown for them. It was a love that overcame every obstacle in its path. Christ's love for his disciples did not diminish because he became preoccupied with his passion and death. And he loved them in spite of their failure to believe or understand what he taught them. and in spite of the time they spent doing things like arguing amongst themselves who should be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, just as his love for them needed to be of a new and deeper nature than known before, so their love one for another needed to be the same. They were to love one another because Jesus commanded them to do so, and not because they were always lovely or lovable. As the early church took shape and developed, so schisms or divisions arose. These were not to interfere with the love for one another that Christ commanded. That one could not accept the position taken by another member of the body of Christ on any issue must not fracture the working of this love one to another. When we love one another, we appreciate and are grateful one to another. Divisions are like weeds in the garden that choke the cultivated plants. They strangle spiritual life. True Christ-like love will overcome all obstacles and will give, asking nothing in return. If we love our brother as Christ has loved us, any differences will be lost in the enjoyment of our brotherly love in Christ. Now look at the result. The result of this command can be seen in the words that Jesus said.
By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
Understanding and obeying the command that Jesus gave us is something only those who are his true disciples can keep. And so, Jesus tells us that the keeping of this new command marks out true disciples from false. This is something that needs examining in more detail. Being able to love one another gives the assurance that we have God's gift of salvation. Listen to John's words in his first epistle.
We know we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers.
Often Christian love between brethren is lacking. Where we would expect to see it exhibited, and when it would be a great testimony to others, we often see selfishness, criticism, and open antagonism fueled by pride. When this happens, it is an example of the devil at work, of the wolf getting among the flock, but it must not detract from the joy of beholding true love of the brethren when we find it. Listen to Psalm 133.
How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Then the Lord bestows his blessing, even life for evermore.
Won't you see to it that God's love is manifest in your life? That the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. God's love is the deepest love. Naturally, we love something because we like it, or sometimes confuse love with compassion when we feel the desire to do something to help. These and many more qualities like them are most commendable. Yet true Christ-like love dwells in the heart of the believer and reaches out when naturally there would be no reason to do so. This kind of love is the first named of the gifts of the Spirit. It's not manufactured by men. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's heavenly love, Jesus' love, divine love. Man can attempt to copy it, but man's fallen nature has left him with malice and the desire for hatred and revenge. Only the ministry of the Holy Spirit can produce this fruit. Jesus was saying much more to his disciples than get on well together when he announced his new command, love one another. He was laying the foundation for a code of behaviour that would give them strength to stand together in times of persecution. It would comfort and support them in life's deepest sorrows and trials, and be something that would mark them out from other men. To obey Christ's command is something that needs our attention. Particularly, we need to be aware that the devil will magnify points of division and inflame our ego so that we fail to keep this command, if he can. Loving one another, loving the brethren, loving in difficult circumstances, loving the unlovely, for that's what Christ did to us. A look around our world today shows man at war with man on all levels. This badge of Christian love, one between the other, should be seen more clearly than ever. We should dispose of anything that prevents us from fulfilling Christ's command and diligently seek to love one another in Christ.
The Bringing a Message programme you have just heard is produced by the By All Means Gospel Trust, based in the United Kingdom. We are always pleased to hear from our listeners, and there are several ways you can contact us. You can write to us at BAM Gospel Trust, P.O. Box 986, Bourne, B-O-U-R-N, Cambridge, CB23, 2YX. You can email us info@bringingamessage.org, or you can use the response form on our website's contact page. To hear this program again or to find out more about the Trust's work and publications, go to our website www.bringingamessage.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. One of our publications is called Break and Meditate. This contains short comments on a verse from the Bible, one for each day. This is available free either as a booklet mailed every 2 months or as a file emailed monthly. The reading for the day is also available on the Read page of our website. BAM also produce Bible study books and booklets. One booklet is produced every 2 months, and several earlier series are available from our website, where you will also find details of all available publications. The work of BAM is supported by donations. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, why not use the secure CAF donate form on our website's support page? And now join Peter Jackson and singers as they sing, "The love that Jesus has is deeper than the sea, is higher than the heavens and far beyond degree. It seals me to his heart and overwhelms my soul, the love that Jesus has for me.
The love that Jesus has is deeper than the sea, is higher than the heavens, and far beyond degree. It seals me to his heart and overwhelms my soul. The love that Jesus has for me.
Thank you for joining us today. Listen at the same time next week. Until then, this is Ken Smith saying goodbye, and may God richly bless you.